Well, good morning. We're so privileged to be together this morning to worship our God. We want to thank everyone who's come out to do that. We have several visitors with us, and we're always happy to see those who are not necessarily a part of the group here at Eastside, but want to come and worship with us and study with us. We love to sing praises to God. We love to pray to Him. We appreciate so much the opportunity to remember His Son as we did this morning, according to His commandment. And it's just great to be able to do these things to honor the God of heaven who has blessed us and loved us so richly. You ever said that you were too tired to do something? I mean, in the last 2 days, have you said that? Probably most of us have. Human beings get tired. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it says in verse 10, the preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. I don't know how many times in my life, after several hours of studying, trying to get a lesson or a class together, or just trying to learn something that I needed to know, sometimes sitting for hours on end, on my end, in the office, and just by the time I get up out of that chair, sometimes having spent a few hours there, I'm tired. I'm tired mentally. I haven't done any work, but my body can barely move. It's all stiffened up, especially as I get older. And I'm tired. And I don't know how many times I've thought, Steve, much study is wearisome to the flesh. It really is. But you know in your life things that you do that are wearisome to the flesh. And that's just part of being a human being, to experience those things. We all experience things that cause us to be weary. The effects of working our jobs or doing chores at home, taking care of the house, even going on vacation makes people tired. I notice most of the time when somebody takes a vacation, they're gone for a week or two, they come back, and they just look like they've been, you know, the horse that was ridden hard and put up wet. they kind of just look like that because vacations can be very, very tiring. So we all understand what that means. We've talked this year already some along the lines of how weariness and being tired, those two things, can hinder us from enduring. In fact, they're some of the chief hindrances to enduring. We're trying to run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's our theme this year. So I thought, as we're coming off our gospel meeting, and some of us are tired just from that experience, from a physical and mental standpoint, I thought it might be good to think about this excuse that we use sometimes, that we're just too tired. We justify our little shortcomings with that, I'm too tired. I'm too tired to study. We come home from a long day of work. We don't have our Bible lesson yet. And I'm too tired to study. I'm too tired to pray. You may have had a long day at work or a long week of work or exhausted yourself in some other way. And you tell yourself, well, I'm too tired to go to church. And then you're struggling with some sort of temptation and it hits you over and over and over again and just beating you up. And maybe it's something that's in the inner man. Maybe it's something that's outward. But you just struggle and struggle with it. And finally you say, I'm just too tired to fight with it anymore. And you give up fighting it. And so in one form or another, we use that I'm too tired expression to excuse ourselves from a lot of things. And if we do it enough, we won't endure. And one of these days, as some people do physically, they say, I'm just too tired to go on. And they lay themselves down and die. And there are those that do that spiritually. just too tired to go on, and they lay themselves down and die spiritually. Spiritual death can have the cause of tiredness. It probably made you tired just listening to all of that. What makes us tired? What causes us to be weary? Sometimes just familiarity with something. When it's the same old, same old. You ever heard anybody say that? What's going on? Same old, same old. You know, what's going on is what's been going on. Same thing's been happening every day, and you might even say, and I'm just tired of it. Because experiencing the same thing all the time, familiarity, there is something about that that makes us mentally drain, or can drain us mentally, and in other ways perhaps as well. So the Proverbs say in Proverbs 25 and verse 7, seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. That's probably pretty good advice. You ever had somebody just say, well, I'm just tired of you. I'm tired of being around you. I don't want to see your face for a while. That can be really true. We get tired of folks. And maybe we shouldn't as much, but I think what the wise man says is a reality. We live in a monotonous world. It has been monotonous for thousands of years. And when you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, and just for a moment, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4, just listen to it. One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun rises, the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns toward the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run to the sea, and yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor, and several translations there say full of weariness. All things are full of labor, full of weariness. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. We are living in a monotonous world. And the monotony of it all can tire us, and it does tire us. When people get older, you might think, well, spring has come, and so let's be happy. You know how many springs somebody's seen who's as old as I am? How many winters I've seen? 64 of them, that's how many. And it just keeps on going like that year after year after year after year. And the first time you see some great beauty of nature, you're thrilled by that, and it's so exciting and joyful, and you giggle to look at the butterfly and to see the rainbow and all of that sort of thing. And still, even after you've seen 1,000 of the rainbows, they're amazing, but there's not the same wonder and the same freshness and the same joy as the first time you saw one 1,000 times ago. And that's life. Familiarity. Familiarity with things that we do to serve the Lord can cause tiredness. We sing a lot of the same songs. A lot of the things we pray in prayer are the same. We do remembering the Lord through taking His supper every week. For those of us who have been Christians a long time, thousands of times we've taken the Lord's Supper. Are you tired of it? If you just think about the repetition and that's all you're thinking about, you can become tired of it. And that's one of the problems we have in the world today, religiously. People who don't want to sing the same songs in the same way, who don't want to do the Lord's Supper in the same way, the same way that was instituted in the New Testament, They're tired of that and they want something new and different. What they're focused on is the repetition, the monotony of it. What they're not focused on is what it means and the beauty of it. Because even though it's the 1,000th time I've seen the rainbow, I don't have the same joy as I did the first time, but I still have joy. And I'd still like to see another, and another, and another. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Malachi. The people of Malachi had the problem we're describing. They profaned the name of God by this attitude. In their worship, in their sacrifice, they say about it, Malachi chapter 1 and verse 13, "Oh, what a weariness." And they sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And they bring the stolen and the lame and the sick. And you bring an offering like that to the Lord. And God says, "Shall I accept that?" See, they were so tired of the same old, and just bringing sacrifices to God. It's such a weariness. We're not even going to try to do a good job at it anymore. We're not even going to put effort into it anymore. We're not going to give our best anymore because we're so tired. And God says, "You think I'm going to accept that just because you're tired? You think I'm going to accept less than your best because you say it's a weariness?" Try that on your governor. Try that on somebody that's not the King of Kings and see how they take it. Tiredness is no excuse. It's no excuse for not giving our best to the Lord. We're living in a world of decay. All of us, as we're sitting here, every last single solitary one of us is getting older. And to live is to decay. Our outward man is decaying day by day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says. And as we do get older, and especially as we come past our prime and start the downhill run to the grave itself, our abilities become less and less, our energies become less and less. We are literally, physically tired more and more. It's hard to continue on, to keep going, because of decay. Sin causes us to be tired. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1, a verse that we've looked at a lot this year, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." What I want you to notice about that verse again, and we've noticed it earlier in the year, laying aside the weight and the sin, could be translated the weight, even the sin, that so easily ensnares us. And the word there for ensnare really means to cling closely to you, as maybe a garment that you can't run in, and it just every step you take, it makes it hard, and you do that long enough and it makes it really hard. The sin easily ensnares us, it weights us down, keeps us from making progress as we like. Many times in my life, I've been tired of my sin. But I'm not really sure that's what the Hebrew writer is wanting us to think about. What he's really wanting us to think about is how much that weight of sin, if you continue to carry it, is going to hinder you and make you really tired so that you cannot run your race. What happens in my life, if I get tired enough of my sin, I give it to God. If I get sick enough of it, and that's what it takes, isn't it? To be sorrowful for sin, godly sorrow, that you're just so sick of it, You realize you've offended God, and you give it to Him for forgiveness. If you keep on carrying it, you're not going to be able to run. Sin weighs us down. And then there are a lot of discouraging events that weigh us down as well in life, all kinds of them. We have tribulation from without, persecution at times, maybe being derided by the world. Yet there's also trouble within. There's trouble among brethren at times. There's trouble in our families. There's trouble at work. All sorts of troublesome experiences that we have in life. And the trouble can make us mentally, physically, spiritually tired. And it sometimes does. The psalmist says in Psalm 6 and verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. The psalmist was tired. He was tired about a lot of things. People were against him. He had a lot of grief, a lot of concern, a lot of tears. And it was all so discouraging, and he was tired. Paul, in another vein, in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, talks about a prayer. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13. He says, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. Have you ever been tired over your concern for what somebody else is going through? Especially if they're close to you. Maybe they have this prolonged illness and they're having to deal with things day by day by day. Maybe they're going through a spiritual struggle and it's just on and on and on, and you're praying for them and you're trying to help them, and yet they don't seem to be making any progress, and maybe even they're going backwards, and the weight on your shoulders is just more than you can take. It's like you can't take another step with it, and you're so tired of dealing with it. Have you said that? I'm so tired of dealing with this. And it's not you that you're really tired about, but it's your concern for what they're going through. And that's what Paul's getting at. I've just outlined a few things, and in a very broad way, that can cause weariness. I hope we've recognized how these things work on us. Each one of these things I've talked about is kind of a lesson in itself, probably. But we become tired because things are familiar. We become tired because our bodies are running down and we're outwardly decaying. We become tired because sin weighs us down, and we become really tired if we carry it. And we become discouraged with things that happen in life, and that makes us mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually tired. What are we going to do to keep going? How do we keep going and overcome the weary feelings, the tiredness? Attitude is everything. My dad had a mule. Talked about it many times. He especially talked about it when, in high school, I dated a girl named Becky. The reason was that his mule was named Becky. And so he told me many stories about Becky. Becky the mule had this habit of, when you were plowing, if you were going away from the barn, she was so tired. I mean, that mule was just not going to go, right? Plodding along, like last bit of energy possible. You turn around and you plow the furrow going toward the barn, and all of a sudden she's got all the energy in the world. Attitude is everything. If you think you're going to the barn, all of a sudden you got lots of energy. How many times in life have we found that? We see it in sports all the time, don't we? If you're watching a sporting event, could be any sort of a game, there's that player that sometimes wears either jersey, and you know, you never know which team it's going to be playing on. It's called momentum, right? You get that momentum, that energy going on a certain team, and all of a sudden, a team that couldn't do anything right, maybe in the first half of a game or something, all of a sudden they're killing it. They've found an attitude. I want you to think about what your attitude is. Folks, we are headed toward the barn. We have an eternal reward to look forward to. Back over again in 2 Corinthians. In chapter 4 and verse 16, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. We're not going to let the tiredness get us down, the weariness stop us. We do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. If we can just tough it out, if we can get through this, we can gain the victory. I wonder how many sports teams, when they were down and it was, you know, the bottom of the ninth or the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter or whatever it was, and they were down, and they said, we can do this. We're tired, we're down, but we can make it. And they did. Because of that attitude, going forward, striving for the goal. And so the writer Paul says, we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What you're going through right now, however tired you may be, it is temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Look at that. Look at that. We're all going to the barn. We're all going home. It's a wonderful thing to know and to realize it. In Galatians chapter 6, I think the Apostle Paul has that in mind as well. When he says in the latter part of verse 7, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Therefore, let us not grow, look at the word, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Don't let your weariness cause you to stop. Don't let your weariness cause you to fall over and faint. Keep going. In due season, in due time, you will reap. Just don't faint. Just don't give up. Just don't quit. Look to the eternal reward. Look to the example of Jesus. We've noticed his example multiple times from Hebrews chapter 12, his example at the cross we talked about earlier this year, and I want to mention that in a moment just again, but I want you to go back to the Gospel of John in a familiar text, John chapter 4. And this is such a simple thing, such a simple thing. Jesus and his disciples are going through Samaria. The text said that he left Judea and he departed to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. And then in verse 5 of John 4, he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore being wearied from his journey, sat down thus by the well. Jesus was tired. You know, Jesus got tired. He was so tired one time, he went to sleep in a boat and a storm didn't even wake him up. Jesus got tired. He was tired and he sat down by the well. And the text says to us that it was about the sixth hour, about noon, and a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And they begin this conversation about water. Jesus, who had asked for a drink of physical water, soon forgot his tiredness, his thirst, as he spoke to this woman about the water of life that he would freely give to her. And she, to her credit, wants the water of life. It's such an interesting story. I think the woman is tired too. She's come to the well and she even complains to Jesus, "Give me this water so that I won't have to come all the way here to draw, you know, here in the middle of the day." It's like Jesus forgets his thirst for physical water, and the woman forgets her thirst as well, her need for water, because she leaves her pot at the well and goes back into the city to tell people that she's found the Christ, the water of life. It's funny. It's interesting. It's fascinating how Jesus, as a human being, living as a man, he's God in the flesh for sure, but he's experiencing weariness as a man, can just all of a sudden drop all of that concern that we people have, that human beings have, for how bad we feel and how tired we are, and just all of a sudden it melts away when he has this one opportunity to talk to this one lowly Samaritan woman about the water of life. Friends and brethren, let's never be too tired to talk to somebody about Jesus. Whatever's going on, there's nothing more important that is going on than that. There's no need that you have, there's no need that anybody else has, that's more important than the water of life. However tired we may be, Jesus went to the cross. Again, going back to Hebrews 12. We're to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in verse 2. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There was so much. He'd been up awake for hours. He'd been beaten mercilessly. He goes to the cross. He endures it all. Any place along the way, he could have said to his father, "Father, I'm too tired. I can't do this." But he does it for us. And again, he's looking forward to something. For the joy that was set before him, it's like looking for that eternal home. Look to the eternal reward. Look to the example of Jesus. Look to God for strength. God will strengthen you. Ask him to do that when you're tired, when you're feeling like you can't go on. Ask God for that strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the promise of Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. Look to God for strength. The Apostle Paul said, as he was living his life, serving God, learning how to both go through difficult times and go through the times of joy and plenty, he said, "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I've learned in every state to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Don't think for a minute that Paul is saying, I can handle all of this. I can deal with the poverty if I need to, or the riches in turn at times, or I can deal with the persecution and the beatings, or I can deal with the adulation that I receive maybe sometimes as an apostle of Christ, or people receiving the gospel of Christ through my preaching and the joy that that brings, and the highs and the lows of life. Don't think for a minute he's saying to us that I do this and I can endure all this and I learned how to be content in all of this by my own strength. He is not saying that. That's the last thing that he's saying. He's saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when you're too tired to go on, and when you think, you know, you're at the very end of your rope, and it's the last step that you can take, I guarantee you one thing. If you will pray to God, if you will turn to God, you can take another step. He can pick you up when you're down. He can give you strength when you're spent. He can show you a way when you don't see a way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lastly, as we think about what we need to do to keep going, look to brethren and friends in Christ for strength and encouragement. Now, sometimes brethren aren't too good about giving us strength and encouragement. Sometimes, in fact, they might be the reason for the discouragement. But good brethren who love the Lord and love us, in fact, can really help us get over the difficulties of our life, the weariness that we experience sometimes. If you go back and look at the book of Job, there's just the most fascinating text to me. As Job, he's lost everything. He's lost his wealth. He's lost most of his family. He's lost his health. Just everything's gone. And he's got these three friends that come to try to comfort him. And as Job describes them, they're miserable comforters. they're anything but comforters. But you come to Job, and one of those three friends, Eliphaz, in Job chapter 4 and verse 3, Eliphaz tells Job, "Surely you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble knees." Job has been a man who, in one translation says, you've kept men on their feet. Job has been a man who, when people were too tired to go on, he was the one who would lift them up with his words, with his encouragement, with his admonitions. Job has been that man. Eliphaz goes on, ironically, in this text, and basically says to Job, look, now you're in trouble, and you're down and out, and nobody can lift you up. And if I'd have been Job, and kind of this is what Job does, actually, I might have turned to Eliphaz and said, well, if you were a better comforter, maybe I could be lifted up. But we learn in this, first of all, that yes, there are those of spiritual strength who've gone through difficult things, who know how it is, and are willing and able to help us and lift us up. We need to turn to one another. There is strength in the herd. There is strength in the flock. He didn't, you know, there are animals in the animal kingdom that are pretty much solitary animals. Human beings aren't those. God created us to work together as his people in what he calls his church, in his family. We rely on one another for strength. Job was good at giving it. The best of encouraging words come maybe from men, but through God. We're given by God himself. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. God's words, shared with others, can pick them up. We started in Ecclesiastes 12, and I didn't mention this verse. I mentioned it a few weeks ago in a lesson, but we read it. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 11. The words of the wise are like goads. You know what a goad does? You know, a goad is that thing you stick an animal with to get it to go. A cow, maybe. A cattle prod, that's a goad. So you see, sometimes you see herdsmen use these. And you have an animal, it's a sheep or a goat or a cow, and it's decided it's not going to go. It's done going because it's tired. And you stick it real good with that prod, and all of a sudden it can go some more. The words of the wise are like goads. And the words of the wise are like nails. They hold us together when we're falling apart. And the wise man says, and they're given by one shepherd. Words that are truly wise, words that will keep us going, words that will hold us together, they come from God. Those are the words we need to be sharing with each other that will help us. So I ask you this morning, have you been feeling like you're too tired to serve the Lord? Too tired to do what the Lord has asked you to do? That's a devil's lie. That's a devil's lie. He wants you to think you're too tired, but you're not. You're not. You have a reward in heaven to strive for. You have the example of your Savior to look at. You have God to strengthen you and your brethren to encourage you. You're not too tired. I think I shared this a little earlier in the year, but some of you know I coach tennis a little bit. I'm not really a very good tennis player or a very good tennis coach. But I have more than once, during a very long match, one of my players would be having, and they'd come over to the fence to talk to me between sets or something and between games, and they're out of breath and they're, you know, sucking water, and they say, "What should I do, coach? Give me some advice." I'll just say, "Okay, you're not tired. There's no such thing as tired. You're not going to quit. You're not going to quit hitting your best shot. You're not going to quit running. You're not tired." God's telling you this morning, you're not tired. Rise and serve Him. If you're in need of the invitation of Christ, if you would obey the gospel this morning, or if you're a Christian who's fallen away or fallen down or quit because you think you're too tired, get up. Heaven awaits. Please come while we stand and while we sing.